The U.S. Air Force KCX contract will wait for the next U.S. president. Most lawmakers and analysts say the KCX delay is a positive development. And the FAA is told to implement 13 new safety measures. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, September 11th, 2008. The heavyweight fight between Boeing and Northrop Grumman to win the contract for the U.S. Air Force's next aerial tanker is over, at least until sometime next year. On Wednesday, the Department of Defense notified the Congress and the two companies that it's terminating the KCX bid competition. Defense Secretary Robert Gates says he determined, in consultation with senior defense and Air Force officials, that the solicitation and award could not be accomplished before President Bush leaves the White House in January. Quote, the resulting cooling-off period will allow the next administration to review objectively the military requirements and craft a new acquisition strategy for the KCX, unquote. Predictably, Northrop said the Pentagon's decision only serves to further put off the needed replacement of the Air Force's aging KC-135 Stratotankers. Quote, with this delay, it is conceivable that our warfighters will be forced to fly tankers as old as 80 years, unquote. The Pentagon says the KC-135s can be adequately maintained for the near future. Just as predictably, Boeing welcomed the extra time. It had threatened to drop out of the competition after a revised request for proposals was issued, which favored a tanker with more capacity than its proposed KC-767. Lawmakers and industry sources also had comments on the KCX announcement. Washington Congressman Norman Dix commented, quote, they didn't have enough time to do it right, unquote. Washington Senator Patty Murray called the delay, quote, a reality check on a procurement process that got very complicated and a little muddied, unquote. Lexington Group aerospace analyst Lauren Thompson observed, quote, the pace of the protest and recompetition happened so fast, there hasn't been an opportunity for policymakers to step back and deliberately be objective, unquote. North Dakota Senator Kent Conrad, in comments to the Grand Forks Herald, differed with the Pentagon on the urgency of the contract. Quote, our current tankers have held up well, but they are more than 50 years old. Further delaying their replacements puts our airmen and national security at risk. The decision to delay procurement of a new tanker flies in the face of that commitment and of common sense, unquote. U.S. Secretary of Transportation Mary Peters yesterday directed the FAA to implement 13 new safety recommendations from an independent review team. She noted the team's report confirms the basic approach to aviation safety in the United States has generated unprecedented results, but that there are ways to make the system even safer. A major recommendation already addressed in recent comments from FAA Acting Administrator Robert Sturgill is agency guidance to ensure that airworthiness directives and their deadlines are fully understood by all appropriate FAA officials and airlines. That's now supposed to be in place by year's end. The independent review team also recommended new safeguards against FAA personnel developing overly cozy relationships with the airlines they regulate through regular audits. Peters has also charged the agency with developing and having underway within 6 months a new training program for safety managers and inspectors. You can find more details, including the review team's complete list of recommendations, in the text version of this story at aero-news.net. The Airline Pilots Association is asking its members at Continental Airlines to look on the bright side. Continental announced the furlough of 148 pilots effective yesterday, but the union says 326 more pilot jobs were saved. In a rare moment, the union praised management for cooperating in the effort to minimize the impact on employees. Captain Jay Pierce, chairman of the Continental chapter of the Airline Pilots Association, commented, quote, we were able to propose some very unique and forward-thinking ideas to management that started the ball rolling. In a cooperative process, the union and Continental were able to reach agreement on ways to achieve reductions voluntarily rather than by the traditional cuts through furloughs. And, of course, our pilots who chose to participate in the programs were the third key component. Putting it all together, I think it had benefit for Continental, but of greater concern, this helped our pilots and their families, unquote. The net result is 148 furloughs, 151 early retirements, and 64 pilots who will take leaves. The New York Times reports the agreement also included a system-wide reduction in the average number of hours each pilot flies, and a program in which pilots could decide to voluntarily reduce their flying time. ALPA represents over 53,000 pilots at 37 airlines in the U.S. and Canada, including nearly 5,000 at Continental. Up next on ANN, the Pilots Union has a new beef with American Airlines. A widower sues American for losing his wife's corpse. And a Florida FBO gets the go-ahead for additional fuel storage. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-Cessna.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for September 11th, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. Most of the complaints we hear from airline employees have to do with upper-level management, but the latest union tiff at American Airlines is between the Allied Pilots Association and a chief pilot. The Dallas Morning News reports that on May 30th, an unidentified Los Angeles-based pilot was taxiing an American Airlines MD-80 clear of runway 18 left at DFW International. Behind him was an American 737 piloted by Captain Jeff Osborne, managing director of flight system for the carrier. The union says Osborne decided the pilot ahead of him was taxiing too slowly and used his cell phone to call company officials to complain. The union says LAX Director of Flight Captain Bob Bush looked into the matter and determined, quote, "I cannot find anything here. There is no reason to discipline. This was ops normal," unquote. APA also says, quote, "Captain Bush actually called the LAX captain and apologized for even bringing this up, but explained that Captain Osborne was insisting on a Section 21 hearing regardless of the facts," unquote. The MD-80 pilot was subsequently suspended without pay for 15 days. One APA official told the paper, quote, "In my 30 years of employment with American Airlines, I have never witnessed anything so blatantly ridiculous. Make sure everyone you know has the opportunity to read and understand just how low our once great airline has fallen and to what extent the management of American Airlines will go to disparage and belittle its employees," unquote. In a brief statement, American said Osborne was just doing his job and that the airline takes safety very seriously. The union counters that Osborne violated both the federal aviation regulations and his flight manual to make the cell phone call while taxiing in the 737. The union is now urging pilots to avoid any conversation with the chief pilot. Quote, "If asked to engage in conversations, politely inform them that your union speaks for you. As for Captain Osborne, we would imagine his do not pair with list is growing by the minute in DFW," unquote. If you travel an airline in the U.S. with checked baggage on any given day, the chance your bag will be lost or damaged is a little over 0.5%. It's frustrating and aggravating to lose your clothes or toiletries, but what if the airline lost the remains of a deceased loved one? But what if the airline lost the remains of a deceased loved one? 60-year-old Miguel Olaya would know. The Associated Press reports Olaya's wife passed away of pelvic cancer, and he says he hired the Derriso Funeral Home in Brooklyn to prepare and ship his wife's body to Guayaquil, Ecuador on April 1st. The mortuary chose American Airlines to ship the body. Olaya is now suing the funeral home and American Airlines in state Supreme Court in Brooklyn, New York, because when he met the plane at the airport, his wife's remains were not on board. It took American 4 days to find the body, and Olaya claims when it was returned to him, it was badly decomposed. Christopher Robles, Olaya's lawyer, says the airline made matters worse with a runaround. Quote, "First they didn't know where her body was. Then they said maybe it was in Miami. And finally they said it was in Guatemala. Instead of sending it on the flight to Guayaquil, Americans sent the body to Guatemala City," unquote. Kathleen DeRiso, the funeral director, says someone at American confused airport identifiers and coded the shipment for delivery to GUA for Guatemala City when it should have been GYE for Guayaquil. She also denied botching the embalming, quote, "It was not our error. There was no decomposition," unquote. American has declined comment due to the pending litigation. Olaya is seeking unspecified damages. Anti-airport interests have failed to block an expansion of fuel storage capacity at an FBO at Witham Field in Stuart, Florida. The Treasure Coast Palm reports the Martin County Commission voted 3-2 to approve Galaxy Aviation's request to add a new 20,000-gallon storage tank to its existing 27,000-gallon system. The company said it wanted to ensure adequate fuel supplies in the event of a hurricane or other disruption to normal fuel shipments. FBO manager David Smith noted that Galaxy has run out of fuel 5 times over the past 3 years, forcing it to purchase fuel from its Crossfield competitor, the Stuart Jet Center. Commissioners Susan Valeri and Sarah Hurd voted no, siding with nearby homeowners who feared the new tank will attract more noisy jet traffic. The airport has been locked in a long battle with opponents over runway safety zones. The FAA wanted to acquire and demolish homes, an office park, a YMCA, and a golf course, which have been built off one end of runway 1230 on land the county and the FAA both claim to own. Opponents countered that the 5,800-foot runway should be shortened to free up land on airport grounds for overrun zones. NIMBYs liked that idea. They believed it would reduce jet operations at Stuart. In March of this year, a Denver attorney retained by the county recommended commissioners accept a settlement proposed by the FAA, which would shorten the runway by 460 feet to its pre-1998 length of 5,366 in order to accommodate engineered material arresting system pads at either end of the runway to prevent overruns. The head of the world's largest pilots union told the U.S. House Judiciary Committee on Tuesday that a proposal to transfer all DHL flying from A-Star and ABX to competitor UPS is, quote, one bad deal. John Prater, president of the Airline Pilots Association, testified, quote, the proposal is bad for pilots, bad for A-Star, bad for competition in the U.S. Air Express industry, bad for southwestern Ohio, bad for American workers, and bad for the U.S. economy. Congress must meticulously scrutinize this proposal and ensure that it is thoroughly reviewed by the antitrust authorities before it goes forward, unquote. DHL, which is based in Germany, says the move is the only way it can turn a profit in the U.S. market. Still ahead, astronauts working on the Hubble telescope have lots of new tools. A Florida Homeowners Association adds insult to injury. And the Air Force clears SpaceX to launch from the Cape. You're listening to Aero News.
Okay. Right up front, let me say that Garmin does not give tax advice. We have lawyers who cringe at the very thought of suggesting there might be tax advantages to buying a new Garmin avionics system this year.
Did he say tax advantages?
Could that be construed as tax advice, either express or implied?
Yeah, like I said, lawyers. So I guess I won't be telling you that this year Congress is offering special bonus depreciation up to 50% in year one for qualified business equipment placed in service during 2008. Business equipment like, say, a new Garmin avionics stack. But you didn't hear that from me, right?
What did he just say?
Okay, better check with your tax consultant for guidance and your Garmin dealer for the installation. Garmin. Follow the leader.
See your tax advisor for guidance.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, September 11th, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. Astronauts preparing for the upcoming STS-125 shuttle mission to service the Hubble Space Telescope will not only be performing some of the most complex tasks in the history of the shuttle program, but they'll be doing them in a very difficult environment. MSNBC reports repairs to the 18-year-old Hubble will require over 60 new tools specially created for the mission. One of the most vital is the new mini power tool, a pistol-shaped combination screwdriver drill that includes an LED at the tip to light up the telescope's inner circuitry. Astronauts need to swap out worn circuit boards that were never intended for field repair. Accessing the spectrograph will require the removal of 117 tiny fasteners and great care not to lose them in zero G. Just one loose screw could damage the telescope's delicate optics. When repairs are complete, new snap-on panels will replace the old covers, so if there's a next time, the repairs will be way less hassle. Many of the unique tools designed for the mission are inspired by tools used on Earth by car mechanics. The other major safety issue for astronauts doing work on Hubble is its orbit, which is higher than the International Space Station. That exposes crews to greater risks of colliding with space junk. That situation has been made worse by satellites intentionally blown up in orbit recently by the Chinese and the Russians. Also, unlike the International Space Station, Hubble has no place to shelter astronauts if something goes wrong with the shuttle Atlantis, which is taking them there. For that reason, NASA won't clear Atlantis for launch until the shuttle Endeavour is also ready on the pad, in case a rescue mission should be needed. It's been more than a year now since Joe Woodard lost his wife Janice and her infant son Josiah when a Cessna 310 owned by NASCAR crashed into their home in Sanford, Florida during an emergency landing attempt. Shortly after that disaster on July 10, 2007, Woodard's attorney said the home would be rebuilt, but mainly to help the neighborhood heal, and that Woodard would likely not return to live in it. Sometime since then, Joe Woodard apparently had a change of plans. He's having the house rebuilt, but with a few changes, so he can move in and it won't remind him so much of his loved ones who'll never walk through the door again. The rebuild involved changes including the size of the home, its location on the lot, and the style of shingles. Woodard told Orlando TV station WESH2, quote, "This is a new step in a new direction. This is going to give me a new start," unquote. Well, now, Woodard has been put on notice that he faces litigation over the changes from his homeowners association. WESH reports calls to the association from both Woodard and the station's news department have not been answered or returned. Woodard, who last year chose to settle with NASCAR out of court rather than sue, says he's willing to make some changes to address the concerns of the homeowners association. But, he says, quote, "If I build it exactly the same, that means that every time I walk in, I'll be reliving and going through a lot of the same things that I already went through when my wife was here. Life is testing my faith. Everything I go through day to day is testing my faith," unquote. Commercial space launch provider SpaceX announced yesterday it's been granted an operational license by the U.S. Air Force for the use of Space Launch Complex 40 at Cape Canaveral Air Force Station on the Florida coast. The way is now clear for SpaceX to go ahead with Falcon 9 launch operations later this year. As ANN reported, SpaceX broke ground on the facility in November of 2007. SpaceX CEO Elon Musk says Falcon 9 will provide the American Space Launch Fleet with a valuable asset. Quote, "The support we received from General Helms and the U.S. Air Force has been immensely helpful in developing the Pathfinder processes necessary for SpaceX to realize commercial space flights from the Cape," unquote. Complex 40 has been in operation since 1965. It's located south of NASA's launch sites for the Apollo moon missions and space shuttle flights, and has hosted numerous historic launches. Among them were the departure of two interplanetary missions, the Mars Observer satellite and the Cassini probe, now exploring the rings and moons of the planet Saturn. SpaceX is developing a family of launch vehicles, Falcon 1, Falcon 9, and Falcon 9 Heavy. The company says they'll increase the reliability and cost-effectiveness of both manned and unmanned space transportation. Falcon 9 is a two-stage liquid oxygen kerosene vehicle designed for reliability using a 9-engine, single-tank, first-stage configuration. And finally, just when you thought there were no more English Channel crossing records left to set, comes Yves Rossi. You might have seen his video on the web. Rossi's the guy who straps a wing and four kerosene jets to his body and flies like an airplane, with his body as the fuselage. Rossi hopes to jump from a plane and make the channel crossing in 12 minutes at about 120 miles an hour. His attempt is set for Wednesday, September 24th, subject to weather, with daily contingency windows through Friday the 26th. The National Geographic Channel announced this week it has exclusive U.S. access to the historic flight and will stream Rossi's mission live at www.natgotv.com/jetman. as well as broadcast a special one-hour program that same night. Internationally, the event will air in 167 countries on NGC and its website. I'm sure it'll be great fun to watch. but I'll bet it would be almost as much fun to listen in when he tells the weather brief for the aircraft type. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, my guest is ANN Managing Editor Rob Finfrock, who will talk about the suspense in the Albuquerque business community as we wait to see what happens at Eclipse Aviation. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.